Thank you very much for organizing this wonderful, very rich, very diverse conference. I would like to begin by saying that this paper is based on, this presentation is based on a paper that I co-authored with, together with Professor Thomas Gibbons, and it is included in the volume. So I will look at German and British approaches to transposing European Union rules on product placement. In order to understand better the current situation, I will begin by outlining the rules on product placement in Germany and the UK before the adoption of the Audiovisual Media Services Directive. I will then explain what the current rules in the directive are, and then we'll move on to look at certain aspects of the implementation of the directive rules in the two countries. And finally, I will end by asking whether the new regime has achieved its aims. Before the adoption of the Audiovisual Media Services Directive, Germany, as well as the UK, included in their laws the principle of separation between editorial and commercial content. And this is a key principle of the broadcasting laws of all jurisdictions. Reflecting the need, first of all, to protect the editorial integrity of programs, and secondly, to protect the audience from being misled about what they're actually watching, whether it is editorial content or commercial content. Germany had in place a prohibition of surreptitious advertising, and the term surreptitious advertising was used synonymously with product placement at the time. However, it was necessary to prove intentional acting by the broadcaster in order to prove that there is surreptitious advertising. And this was very difficult to prove. Certain indications for intentional acting are the payment of money or contractual arrangements for the representation of goods, or even the production of a whole program with the sole aim of including promotional references. However, all of these factors are very hard to prove in practice. There was also a realization from the beginning in Germany that there is a certain tension between the principle of separation and the principle of broadcasting freedom. And therefore, the law allowed the representation of goods or services or of their providers outside of traditional advertising if this was indispensable on mainly editorial or artistic grounds, so as to depict the real world. If products appeared in a certain program, their representation was not allowed to promote commercial interests, and therefore it was desirable that there would be market studies rather than a focus on a single product, that there would be a frequent change of products, etc. The German courts have reached contradictory decisions as to the application of these guidelines and the determination whether a commercial representation is surreptitious advertising or whether it is a representation of the real world. So in the Barbie case, for instance, the administrative court Lüneburg decided that a 30-year anniversary documentary on the Barbie doll was too focused on the advantages of the doll, of its accessories, was too uncritical, and therefore constituted surreptitious advertising. And the same in the ADSC case on the motorcycling club ADSC. Again, the court found this to be surreptitious advertising, while the Higher Administrative Court Berlin-Brandenburg, in a documentary focused on a single hardware store found that this was legitimate representation of the real world. There is also the category of prop placement, the inclusion in drama of certain products free of charge or as competition prizes. And this practice was accepted and was not considered to be surreptitious advertising. It is a practice that is widely used to finance the production of programs. And there was a more lenient treatment of bought-in programs and of cinema films, given that product placement is very widespread, in, especially in Hollywood movies. The position in the UK before the Audiovisual Media Services Directive was similar. There was a principle, again, acceptance of the principle of separation, a prohibition of the promotion of products and services in programs, prohibition of undue prominence and of product placement. However, prop placement was again allowed if it was justified editorially. And again, there was more lenient treatment of non-UK programs and cinema films. Now, with the Audiovisual Media Services Directive, we have a liberalization of product placement. The principle set in the directive is that product placement is still prohibited. However, the directive allows it exceptionally subject to conditions. Product placement is defined as any form of audiovisual commercial communication consisting of the inclusion of or reference to a product, a service, or the trademark thereof so that it is featured within a program in return for payment or for similar consideration. So the directive says that in principle product placement is prohibited. However, it shall be admissible unless a member state decides otherwise, in the case of cinematographic works, films and series made for audiovisual media services, sports and light entertainment programs, and where there is no payment, but only the provision of certain goods or services free of charge. And the second is prop placement. There are certain rules that programs containing product placement must obey. They must not affect the responsibility and independence of the media service provider. They must not directly encourage the purchase or rental of goods or services. They must not give undue prominence to the product in question. And this raises the question, what is the purpose of this rule? If we want to protect viewers, then perhaps it is desirable that products are prominent, because then viewers will know that it is product placement. While if product placement is done very discreetly, then viewers are more likely to be misled. And also there is a requirement of appropriate identification at the start and at the end of the program and when the program resumes after an advertising break. However, there is an exception for bought-in programs, so member states can refrain from requiring the identification when a program has not been produced by the broadcaster but has been bought. There are certain programs that are banned from program product placement, namely tobacco products, cigarettes, or product placement from undertakings manufacturing such products, and also medicinal products or medical treatments available only on prescription. The directive refers to prop placement in a recital, saying that prop placement can be considered to be product placement if the goods or services included are of significant value. And this equation of prop placement and product placement has been criticized and is questionable. And also the criterion of significant value is quite unspecific. And to complicate matters even further, the directive also includes the category of surreptitious advertising. The directive prohibits surreptitious audiovisual commercial communication and defines it as the representation of goods, etc., when it is intended by the broadcaster to serve as advertising and might mislead the public as to its nature. And it says that such representation shall be considered as intentional if it is done in return for payment or for similar consideration. So we have product placement and surreptitious advertising standing side by side in the directive. In a lukewarm recital, the directive also says that thematic placement should be prohibited, but it doesn't actually say that it is prohibited. And thematic placement is the payment by a third party for the creation of storylines or scripts as vehicles for the purpose of featuring particular issues or references to certain aims, objectives, beliefs, or interests. So we can think, for example, of the Archers program in the UK, which a very popular radio program, which also served the aim of informing farmers and improving farmers' practices. Or we can think about the example of a German case where a dialogue was inserted into a popular series extolling the benefits of fitted carpets. And this was not coincidental, but as it came out, it was on purpose inserted to promote the interests of the fitted carpets industry. The aims of the new regime are to yield meaningful commercial benefits to commercial television companies and program makers, but also to ensure that broadcasters retain editorial control over programs and to protect viewers from surreptitious advertising. The introduction of the new regime met with initial resistance in Germany, but was transposed in the end in 2010. And in the UK, the government initially decided against the introduction of product placement, but then there was a change of heart in 2009 and a transposition of the AVMS rules in the UK. So as a result of the liberalization of product placement, we see one example in a German popular crime series, Stromberg, where one of the characters holds a Müller rice pudding pot, and also the insertion of the Nationwide's ATM cash machine in Coronation Street in the UK. Both Germany, moving to the implementation now of the rules, both Germany and the UK have adopted principles that mirror the rules on product placement. And Germany has gone actually even further by requiring in advertising guidelines drafted by the Land Media Authorities that product placement must be editorially justified. This is the case when the product is integrated in the storyline on mainly editorial or artistic grounds, or when the use or representation of the product provides necessary information clarifying the content of the program. And this raises the question whether this is realistic, whether it is actually possible to, on the one hand, liberalize product placement, on the other hand, to say that it has to be, that products have to be integrated on mainly editorial grounds. And this question has been discussed in a recent case, the case Hasseröder Männerkamp. The private broadcaster Sat 1 broadcast in May 2011 the final of the UEFA Europe League, And it switched twice before and after the march to the so-called Hasaroda MENA camp, which was a mobile home created in different places in Germany to allow four men chosen by lottery to participate in certain enjoyable activities during a weekend in that mobile camp, while advertising Hasaroda, which is a beer, a German beer. So in this broadcast, the Hasaroda beer was repeatedly mentioned in conversations between the presenter and an expert, and the brewery's logo was shown in the studio on beer bottles on the T-shirts which the four men were wearing. The presentation was identified as product placement. However, the broadcasting authority found that the product placement was not editorially justified. The administrative court Neustadt disagreed with the broadcasting authority, saying that this was admissible product placement. This decision was overturned by the higher administrative court Rheinland-Pfalz, which saying that this product placement was actually prohibited, even though it was identified due to undue prominence. And finally, the Federal Administrative Court in Germany found that the product placement was admissible, that the depiction of a certain product is not excessive just because it serves a discernible advertising purpose. It only becomes excessive when the commercial element dominates over the editorial part. And the court found that this was not the case here, since there was no discussion about the qualities of the product. The discussion turned around the matches that were actually shown, had only a sporting content. And now there is a reference to the German Constitutional Court on this very question. The distinction between product placement and surreptitious advertising is a difficult one. Product placement requires payment or similar considerations. Surreptitious advertising, however, does not. Payment is only a presumption of advertising intention. And this question was discussed in a case before the Court of Justice, the case Alta versus Sipulwos Tipu. Now, what happens? Can the two actually coincide, product placement and surreptitious advertising? Well, member states have given different answers to that. In Germany, there is a clear separation between product placement and surreptitious advertising. Germany says that product placement is the identified representation in words or pictures, while surreptitious advertising is when there's no identification. While under the directive and also in the UK, the two are not mutually exclusive. So something that is illegal product placement can also be surreptitious advertising at the same time. Moving on briefly to some more detailed aspects of the transposition in the two countries. As far as the prohibited products are concerned, the German rules mirror those of the Audiovisual Media Services Directive, while in the UK there is a wider list of products that are prohibited from product placement. Products such as foods and drinks high in fat, salt, and sugar, gambling, infant and follow-on formula are prohibited from product placement. Both countries require the identification by means of the universal logo P, and both countries make an exception for bought-in programs. The German rules seem a bit stricter as far as bought-in programs are concerned, saying that the identification requirement can only be waived if it is not possible to establish at reasonable expense whether the programs which have been bought in contain product placement. However, there is, in reality, this is not a very strict rule because there's no administrative offence if the broadcaster breaches the duty to establish whether product placement is contained in the programmes. And in the UK, again, signalling by way of the universal logo and no signalling requirement for acquired programmes, except if the broadcaster acquires the programme from a third party on the condition that product placement within the programme will be broadcast. Germany is more specific about prop placement and about the question of significant value, saying that props are of significant value when the value exceeds 1% of the program budget and the amount of 1,000 euros, whereas the UK is more vague, saying that props are of significant value when their residual value is more than trivial. And also on thematic placement, Germany has included a rule saying that thematic placement is prohibited, while in the UK there was no explicit consensus on the exclusion of thematic placement. Now to conclude, I will ask whether the new regime has achieved its aims. Product placement has so far not been as widespread as it could have been, and there are different factors that are mentioned why this might be the case, but probably the most important one is the fear of negative viewer reactions, that too much product placement might actually turn the viewers off. And there is also a perception that maybe product placement doesn't actually generate additional income, but only shifts fund from traditional advertising to product placement. Does the new regime protect the editorial integrity of programs? Well, this is very doubtful. It's very hard to prove agreements about content of programs or of scheduling of programs, and these are part and parcel of program placement. The new regime relies too much on identification, and there are still many grey areas. What is, for example, what is innovation placement? I mean, the creation of a movie just to afterwards market the characters versus legitimately derived products from a movie as it happens sometimes with children's cartoons. Has the new regime increased transparency for the viewer? Not really. The viewer cannot tell whether the products that appear in a program without identification are illegal placements, are prop placements of no significant value, or whether their inclusion was merely unintended. And also, it's not possible to tell which products the logo P actually refers to. As I said before, the legitimacy of prop placements should really only depend on their editorial justification, and the criterion of significant value is confusing and is quite irrelevant. A simple Coca-Cola can have a tremendous effect, even though it's not of significant value. So thank you very much for your attention, and look forward to your questions.